Hey, this is Tim from Cullamunda Church of Christ, and today I hope that this podcast blesses you. If you are wanting to know anything more about our beautiful church, why don't you hop online and head to our website at cullamunda.church.
Yeah, let's pray. Father, we give you all the glory to this morning. We give you all the praise on this very special, significant weekend that we celebrate, Lord. Just want to still our hearts before you, and we want you to know, Father, that it is all about you. Every word, every song, every chord, every breath, every prayer, we just want to tell you, Jesus, we love you. It is all about you. We thank you, Father, this morning that we don't serve a dead religion but a living relationship with the King of Kings. And I just pray for every person that's come in this morning, whether this is where they come every Sunday morning or this is the first time they've come in, Father, that you would meet every person where they're at this morning. I thank you that you're going to do something this morning that only heaven can get glory for. We thank you that you're alive, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will breathe upon these words, these human words that I have, and you'll do something supernatural with the natural this morning. We give you all the glory and all the praise. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Will you stay standing for 1 minute? Just 1 minute, if that's okay. I'm going to read a scripture to you this morning. Tim did a great job, Pastor Tim, didn't he, on Friday, our Good Friday service, about the blood and about what Jesus did on the cross. And this scripture on the screen, I think it's, if you can take me there to it, it's in Matthew 27, verse 50, as Jesus is dying on the cross. And it says that Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and then he yielded up his spirit, because Jesus wasn't murdered, he was giving his life for every person in this room this morning. And he gave it willingly. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, because God tore that veil. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. And here's the theme this morning that I want us to look at is, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his, that's Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. As you take your seat, would you turn to the person next to you and say, the graves are open, and have a seat. Have that water. Thank you, worship team. Wasn't that fantastic? I love that new song. I always forget you when you're doing new songs. It surprises me. I'm like, oh yeah, I love that. That's great. So fantastic. Great to be with you. My name's Brad. I'm one of the pastors here. And as I said, if you come every week, welcome. If this is the first time, welcome. It's just great to celebrate it's Resurrection Sunday with you. It's great that you can be with us, with our Cullamunda family this morning. So welcome, and can't wait for the beach baptisms. We've got three baptisms now. We would have two. We've got another one after the service down at Coogee Beach. So we'll be hang around for a Brista coffee, as was said. But we're going to be heading to Coogee Beach after a quick coffee. And we've got three people getting baptized on Resurrection Sunday, coming out of the waters, just like Jesus come out of the tomb as they signify their new life in Christ, and that is powerful. This morning I want to talk about the fact that the tombs are open. As they say, he is not here, he is risen. But when Jesus died, it was obviously very significant, and the physical earth, stuff happened. Like there was an earthquake, there was a solar eclipse, there was darkness. Like the earth, something was going on, because this was an event like no other in history. This wasn't just a person who was crucified, as many people have been crucified, but this was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that was split time from BC to AD, and now also splits lives from BC to after deliverance. Amen? And so he changes everything. And everything was going on, but it's kind of weird, isn't it, that strange scripture that even the temple curtain was torn, and we know that signifies that now we can have a relationship with God. That the presence of God. See, religion is all about you doing things to get to God. That's religion. It's about do, 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 and it's all just do, do. But Christianity is about God doing things to get to you, and it's spelled done. It's done. He came and he gave his life so you could know forgiveness, so you could know Jesus. And that's what we celebrate here at Cullamunda. We don't really like religion. I say to people, they say, I'm not into organized religion. I say, you should come to our church. I'm not very organized. You'll love it. But we're into a relationship with Jesus, and the curtain was split. the earth quaked, the rocks split. But then this weird one, the graves and tombs could no longer hold the people of God. Something happened that death lost its power, and these graves vomited up their people, the saints of God. They could not hold them any longer. Why? Because Jesus had broken the curse of sin and death, and no longer could they be held down, the people of God. They're like, I'm free. And I want to tell you this morning, the same power that set them free from their tomb is here this morning to raid your tomb and set you free. It's the same power this morning. Yeah, we celebrate. When you clap in this church, you're clapping for Jesus. So clap all you like. We love him this morning. Every tomb says this in 1 Corinthians 15:54. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death. And we know that sin produces death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and all have sinned. I'm here to tell you this morning, the good news is that good people don't go to heaven. If good people go to heaven, it's going to be empty. Because we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, but the wages of sin is death. You know, when you get your wages, you don't go, oh, thank you so much, boss. Oh, you're so generous to me. No, you deserve those wages. And everybody deserves eternal separation from God for the sin in our life, for the sin that we are born with. The Bible says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me, the psalmist says. What does he mean? What he's saying is, sin is not something you did when you lied. Sin is not something you did when you stole. Sin is someone you are when you were born, separated from a holy God. And you can do nothing to take away your sin, nothing you can do. But that's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died. That's why he rose again. The sting of sin is death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God he gives us the victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage us this morning that he gives us the victory. This is a victorious day. You know, Jesus had a way of really ruining funerals. He ruined the funerals that he went to because the person wouldn't stay dead. And he came to Lazarus's funeral, his good friend, and Lazarus had been in the tomb for 3 days, and he was like at his friend's funeral, and he comes along, and this is what I want to capture these words on the screen, John 11:25. Jesus said to one of his sisters, Mary, and they're grieving, and he said to her this, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. As I'm reading that, I've just got news this morning that one of our elderly people in the church, Wendy Day, for those that know her, she passed away this morning. She's been wanting to meet Jesus. Me and Sky went and had a cup of tea with her not long ago, and she said, Brad, why am I still here? I'm ready to go. My bags are packed. And why? She's like, I'm ready to go. And how fitting that on Resurrection Sunday, she raises up to meet her Savior. So with the grief, there is joy. When you're a Christian, death loses its sting. It's lost its sting. It's lost its power. And that death is just separation from spirit moving out of this earthly body, this tent. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's where Wendy is right now. Perfect vision. Won't be wearing those glasses. Celebrating with Jesus. It says, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He said, resurrection. See, the resurrection is what separates what we believe in, what being a follower of Jesus is all about. It separates it from all other religion. Because all other religions serve a God or something that is in the grave. But the resurrection is what makes the difference in being a Christian. In fact, I'm not going to go there. Last year, I remember I preached about how Paul said that without the resurrection, if we do not have the resurrection, he said, then Christians, your faith is futile. And what he meant by that is if Jesus isn't raised from the dead, your faith is futile. In other words, your faith is in vain. And the word in vain means it is empty. If there is no resurrection, then what he did on Friday has no victory in our life. But the resurrection is the seal of the deal of the divine Son of God that gave his life for you and me, and he rose from the dead. And see, some people have trouble believing this. And even non-Christian historians and that know that Jesus' bones have never been found. know that and believe that there was a resurrection. And some people are like, yeah, but you know, my faith is based on the Bible. You know, my faith and our faith, what Paul is saying, you might read the Bible and there's some things you struggle with and I think, I don't know if I can believe this. And we should always study to check out the Bible and I encourage that and all that. But you know, I can go through things in the Bible, right? And I can go, I don't get that bit. I don't really get all this stuff. It doesn't shake my faith because my faith is not in a book. My faith is in an event. My faith is based on the resurrection of Jesus. That is, when your faith is based on his resurrection, you can go through some ups and downs in life and it won't rock you because the event of the resurrection, Paul says all through his preaching, when he preaches the gospel, one thing is always in it, the resurrection. The resurrection, the resurrection, because it is what it is all about. It is what puts color in our day. It is what puts, I don't know, I've had some other thoughts here, but it's what makes it what it's all about. And this is what Tim Keller said. Here we go. He said this: if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. And he says that Jesus is either one of three things in every person's life. He's either a liar, a lunatic, or he is Lord. And if he truly rose from the dead, he demands a response from humanity. In all thousands of years, he's been demanding a response. You can't go around Jesus. He leaves us with a response to make. And this morning, I want to encourage you, where do you stand with Jesus? How is your life with God this morning? Paul also said this when he, in 1 Corinthians 15, when talking about how Jesus actually appeared to 500 people at one time. He appeared to other people. He appeared to the apostles. There was eyewitness accounts of Jesus appearing to people. And I love what Paul says, because this is what it is for me. He says, and last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. The reason I follow Jesus is not because I read about Paul who saw him. It's not because I read the accounts in history. The reason I follow Jesus is because I have met him myself. The reason you follow, not physically, not in like a person, but as a 10-year-old sitting in a church like this, when I heard the gospel that I'm a sinner in need of saving, and I was sitting about five or six rows back, and something in my heart said, you know what? I need Jesus. I know I need what he done for me, even as a 10-year-old. Hadn't done that many bad sins, I thought. But I was a sinner, because it's who I am, not what I do, in need of saving. And I don't care how young you are this morning, you may have never heard that Jesus wants to forgive you of all your sin. He rose from the dead to give you victory over sin and death. And as a 10-year-old, I walked to the front of that church and I said, Jesus, I want you. I want to be forgiven. And when he appeared to me, I know he lives. I know my Savior lives because I've met him. Have you met the King this morning? Have you met Jesus? Because he wants to break you out of your tombs. I'm just going to give you quickly three tombs that he wants to break us out of. Because it says this in Ephesians, and you he made alive who were dead. You were dead. Hey, Jesus doesn't come to make bad people good. He comes to make dead people alive. The word life in the Bible is Zoe life. It's the God kind of life. Zoe, it's the God kind of life. It's real life. It's eternal life. And it's not pie in the sky when you die. It doesn't happen when you get to heaven. It's life on the inside of you now that gets you out of bed in the morning like it got Jesus out of the tomb to go, I've got a purpose. I've got a purpose today. I'm living for Jesus. That Zoe life. So you were dead in your sin, but he made you. Jesus makes us alive in that forgiveness and that grace. And he wants to get you out of your tombs. The first tomb is the tomb over your past. The tomb over your past. So many people live with the thought in their mind, if only I could turn back the hands of time and change that thing. If only I could change that. And often the past, the regret, the thing that happened is the tomb that we get stuck in. It's the tomb of the past. And I want to tell you this morning, Jesus wants you to walk out of here this morning and knowing that he has dealt with all of your past. That all of your past is called past for a reason. You know, when Jesus died on the cross and Passover, and we celebrated the blood on Friday, we celebrated his blood given for us. But the Passover, that Old Testament time, that old time when the people of God wanted, when God wanted to set his people free, And he told all his people, now go into your homes, now get a lamb, slaughter the lamb, and get the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorposts of your home. And when the angel of death comes, because judgment was coming, and when I see, notice what he didn't say. He says, when I come, and when I see your home, and I see how well your kids are behaving, when I come into your home, and I see how many good things you've done, when I come into your home and I see, oh yeah, you've got A, B, C, you're doing that, you haven't lied lately. When I come in and I see your behavior, no, he says, I don't care about your behavior. I just want to see the blood. And when I see the blood, I will pass over your home. And when Jesus, when he sees my life, when he sees Brad's life, you know what he sees? He sees a word in the Bible called justified. Justified. It's a legal term. It's just if I had died for my sins. Justified doesn't only mean that I'm forgiven. It means I never did it. I never did it. God sees me as if I never did it. And you go, oh, that's a bit loose, isn't it? Like, that's a bit of a license for sin. No, it's not. It's the grace of God. That yes, I know I've stuffed up in my life, but when God looks at me, I'm justified because he sees Jesus on the cross paying for my sin, paying the debt. And I'm justified as if I never, ever did it. When he looks at me, when I get up this morning, he looks at me as a son of God that never has sinned. Because he who knew no sin became sin that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He took it all. Come on, losing my voice. We need, as Christians, I want to encourage us, we need to take that seriously. We sort of think, oh yeah, you know, I'm going okay. I'm sort of doing well with the Lord, but not that good. I've got this gun. No, you are justified. Start fighting from victory, not for victory, amen? That it is finished in your life, that your past is done. I think about the thief on the cross, man. I love that thief on the cross. He's up there, he's two thieves and one on each side, but the one that looked to Jesus and said to him, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus looked at this man that could do nothing about his past, that could not change anything. He was in a situation that he could not get out of. He could not go back and say sorry. He could not go back and get restitution. He could not go back and make amends. He could do nothing. His past would be forever his future, so he thought. But Jesus looked at him. When he looked at Jesus, and we believe he cried out for his mercy, for his grace, remember me, Jesus. I know that you are not a man who does not need to die, and you're dying not for yourself because you've done no wrong. He knew he had not sinned. And as he reached out, Jesus looked back with eyes of love and said, today you will be with me in paradise. See, your past does not have to define your future. You can walk out of the tomb of your past this morning when you say, Jesus, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me clean, and he makes you justified. Justified. You see, Second Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any person be in Christ, that's become a Christian, any person, they're a new creation. And I love this next bit. This is my favorite bit. Old things have passed away. That wording, it's when someone passes away, they've passed away. Your old you has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want to encourage someone this morning that Jesus is a better Savior than you are a sinner. Because you're listening to what I'm saying, you're like, yeah, but you don't know, Brad, my story. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the darkness. You don't know. And I don't. And I don't need to, praise the Lord. But Jesus does. And he still is a better Savior than you are a sinner. And you can trust him and you can receive that grace. The second thing, he wants you to walk out of the tomb of the past. The second thing is, he wants us to give us victory over the tombs of our present. You know, the Christmas prophecy that God Emmanuel, God with us, is fulfilled at Easter. Why is it fulfilled at Easter? Well, Christmas, yes, it was God with us. But Jesus said, I don't just want to be with you. I want to be in you. He said, I don't want you to have to go to a temple to worship me. I want you to be my temple and I want to fill you. And so Emmanuel, God with us, when Easter, when the veil was torn and the presence of God was now accessible, we can know him personally. He can come. And that's what he does. When you become a Christian, he takes up residence in you by his spirit and he lives in you. And that's why things change. Things are different. If there's no difference in your life, you probably don't have the Holy Spirit in your life. Like, he makes a difference. Suddenly things feel different, seem different. Your conscience is different. And over our present, often we can struggle with, and we all do, but I want to tell you, there is a victory for anxiety and insecurity. There is a victory for fear. There is a victory for all the things that would paralyze us in the present. And the victory comes from the peace and grace that is an empty grave. And Jesus walked out of the tomb with one ambition, to walk into your life. He got out to get in. And so I want to encourage you this morning. No Goliath you're facing is great in the present is greater than the victory Jesus gives you. I love this scripture. 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You know, the Bible says that it's appointed unto man to die and then to face the judgment, that all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That it's just, it's a sobering thought. It's a good thought to go, hey, how is it in your life this morning? How is it in your life? Do you have peace with God this morning? Because it says we can have boldness on the day of judgment. There is no fear. Why? Because as He is, Jesus, so are we in heaven. No, it doesn't say that, does it? So are we in this world. As He is, when John wrote this, where was Jesus? He was seated at the right hand of the Father, victorious. He was overcomer. And as He is, so are we in this world. And we are now, the Ephesians, Paul put it this way, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That is our new address. You've moved address. When you become a Christian, your address moves from sinner to saint, from lost to found, from hopeless to hope, and from seated in sin to seated in heavenly places. How good is that? It's a good view up there. If you close your eyes, you can maybe get a view of your present and go, you know what, man, the same spirit that walked out of that grave lives in me. How can I even fear these circumstances in my present? Man, I can see so much further. I've got long distance view because I can see from heaven right now. I can trust Him with that. How is it in your present at the moment? And lastly, I finish on this point, is that He wants to give you victory over your future tombs. Your future tombs. Because He lives, my past is over, my present is powerful, my future is secure. That's a great confession to make on Resurrection Sunday. You know, often worrying about the future, they say, is like sitting in a rocking chair, rocking back and forward, hoping that you're going to make some kilometers happen and you go nowhere. Can I have my water, please, somebody? Oh, anybody? Thanks, Blaise. You with me this morning? About to finish. So I just want to encourage you. I want to give everyone here an opportunity to walk out of your tomb this morning. Maybe you're in a tomb of the past. Something is gripping you. Something is holding you back that you need to receive afresh. That revelation that it's gone. It's in the past. I am forgiven. Sometimes the hardest person to forgive is yourself. But it is a prideful thing not to forgive yourself. You think it's humble? I'm humble, I can't. That is pride, because you were saying His cross was not good enough for me. That is total pride, whereas Jesus says, I love you so much, I did this for you and you won't receive it. Forgive yourself this morning. Maybe it's the tomb of your future. Your present. Something going on right now that is holding you down, holding you back, and Jesus comes to the tomb and He comes like to Lazarus's tomb and He rolls away the stone and you're like, Brad, I don't want Jesus to see my tomb because it stinks. And Jesus looked into Lazarus' tomb and He said, yeah, it certainly did stinketh back in the day. It stunk, but Jesus was not moved by the stench. He was not concerned about the stink because He said, no, my love goes into the mess. My love goes into the stinky situation. My love goes into however dark it gets. And He called Him by name. He said, Lazarus, I'm calling you, come out. And He calls us today to come out of the things that would hold us back in our past, in our present, and lastly, as the team come up, in our future, in our future. The Bible talks about in Hebrews 2, it's not on the screen, but Hebrews 2 about the fear of death being conquered. The great preacher John Wesley, I'm reminded, heard a story about how when he really became a Christian, it was because he had been around this group of people that just had so much joy and they just didn't have any fear, because perfect love casts out fear. When we know how much God loves us, casts out that fear. And that fear of death was something that made a big impact on his life. And the Bible, and in his story, not the Bible, in his story, it talks about when he was with them, and they're preaching out of Romans, his heart was strangely warmed. And it was like the love of God come in. And often we can go through life, even as Christians, and the fear of death, because we're living in doubt, can start to cripple us. And we want to hold on to this life and I'm all for taking all the vitamins and doing all the stuff and trying to be healthy and trying to extend this life. But when you think about eternity, what we're extending is like a millimeter on a tiny bit of what we're doing. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do those things, but it means that we should be so heavenly minded that we're really earthly good. Some people say, oh, that person, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. I disagree. I think when we are so heavenly minded, when our mindset is on things above, we should make the biggest impact on things here and now. I love the story of the Titanic. When the Titanic went down, don't love it like that. I love the story of John Harper, who was on the Titanic. If you've ever heard that story, John Harper was a young preacher and he was on board the Titanic that fateful night that the Titanic would hit that iceberg and start to sink. Funny thing about John Harper was that he nearly drowned three times in his life growing up. Interesting. And he's on board the Titanic and he's got his daughter Nina there, and the reports record that when they were yelling out, women and children, get on board the lifeboats, he put his daughter on the lifeboat and kissed her goodbye, knowing it'd probably be the last time he could see her. And then he would go around and, as reports record, he would yell out, women, children, and unsaved, get on the lifeboats. As the ship went down, John Harper was one of the ones that jumped out in the icy cold waters, and he was wearing a life jacket. And as he's witnessing to people, swimming to bits of debris, sharing Jesus, and he would ask them, are you right with God? Is your life right with God? Do you know Jesus? And this one young man said, no, I don't want to know Jesus, and rejected John Harper's message. John Harper kept swimming to other people. He finally went back to this young man who was holding onto this piece of icy debris, and he said to him, young man, you need to get your life right with God. And he said, no. And then John Harper took off his life jacket and he said, then you need this more than me. The man took the life jacket, and John Harper's last words that were heard going down into the waters as he died was, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. 4 years later, there's a survivor's meeting. And at the survivor's meeting, this young man gets up and recounts how he was John Harper's last convert. And he gave his life to Jesus. You know, John Harper was so secure that the tomb for his future was already set. He knew where he was going. He wasn't fearful of the future. He knew what would happen. And he was so secure in his future, it didn't hold a grip on his present. And I want to encourage us this morning that we are the kind of church here at Kalamunda that are called to give away the life jacket, that are called to take up our cross and follow Him, to lay down our lives so that others may know Jesus. Why? Because our future is secure. Ain't no tomb going to hold you, man. Ain't no tomb going to hold you back, because He has risen and we are risen with Him. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you're here this morning and you've never received the life jacket of the gospel, that God loves you so much, and right now you're hearing my voice and something's pounding in your heart going, I've never received Jesus for my Savior, for myself. In just one moment, I want to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer. The prayer is not magic. It's simply trusting and receiving the life jacket from Jesus. What is the life jacket? It's His saving power, that He died on the cross for your sins, that if you will repent of your sin, if you'll turn from the things that you know He's calling you to turn from just the sin of our life and say, Jesus, I can't deal with that. I can't change myself. Good. You can't. I can't make it better. Good, you can't. But what I can do is I can trust in you, that you have dealt with my past, will give me power in my present, and you give me security for my future. That's all you can do, is trust in the grace of God. And in a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer and ask if you'd like to do that. See, it's a little bit like when you go to the doctors, and church should sometimes feel like that. You go to the doctors and he says, man, sorry, things are wrong, but I'm going to prescribe you this tablet and it's going to make things right. And you go home and you thank the doctor and you put the tablet on the wall and you look at it every morning and you go, thank you, doctor. And you think of the doctor. You think, oh, he's a good doctor. I like that doctor. Gives me good stuff. He cares about me, that doctor. And you don't take it. What are you not doing? You're not appropriating the medicine. And when we just hear about Jesus, you just hear the gospel, but you don't receive it. You don't experience the tomb raiding power of the Savior who will come in and raid your tomb and take you out to a brand new life. So I'm going to pray and close off the service. Would you bow with me and close your eyes as we finish off this morning, this Resurrection Sunday? Father, as we're in your presence, I want to praise you and thank you that you are here to save this morning, to bring victory, to bring forgiveness. And for every person here this morning, Father, be any person that you're knocking on the door of their heart, Holy Spirit, give them the courage and victory to receive you right now.